both sides. We're living in Eitzara for Achenu Bnei Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, and Eitzara for Achenu Bnei Yisrael throughout the world. Obviously, we have been talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu that all of this will result ultimately in something positive. We are mitzapel Yeshua, ki Yeshuascha, ki binu kol hayom. Generations before us have davened for Mashiach, halavai, our door should be zocheh to welcome him. One of the tragedies of the Golos is a sense of pirud in Klal Yisrael. We are an amkshei oref, and we hold strong opinions, and we're not shy about expressing those opinions. People can observe a certain reality and see it in completely different ways based on, you might say, preconceived notions. It's true in the world at large. We see it going on even in terms of how the media and people in the world are looking at what's going on in the battle in Gaza. It's also true for us in Klal Yisrael. I want to think about this in terms of the historical times that we're in. We all yearn for Mashiach, but there are different visions, and there's always been different visions about how it's going to happen. We find even in the Gemara, Machlokas, Tanoim, exactly will it happen only with Tshuva, where Kadosh Baruch will just bring Mashiach, even if we don't do Tshuva on our own. Even that opinion seems to say that it's going to come because Hashem will create Gzeros, and Memela Karisa will do Tshuva, will be imposed on us. But even Tanoim weren't sure or had a machlokes exactly how it's going to play out. Within Tanakh, we look at psukim in Tanakh. There are so many psukim in Tanakh that speak about Achris Hayamim, but also about the events that are going to lead up to Achris Hayamim, to the Geula. There are nevuos that speak to Umas HaOlam, the punishments that will be visited upon those nations, Amun, Moab, Edom, and on the lands in retribution for the having oppressed us throughout our history. There are nevuos that pertain to Klal Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, Kibbutz Golios, returning in mass to Eretz Yisrael, a spirit of tshuva that will envelop us, the land being revived. All these are psukim in Mefurashim and Tanakh. And then there are psukim that describe a very dark period that's going to precede coming of Mashiach. Chazal described this as Chevrei Mashiach, analogous to birth pangs. And they talk about the Gemara, the end of Sota, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, various simanim, characteristic of the period of Chevrei Mashiach. One aspect of Chevrei Mashiach is the Melchemes Gog Magog, which is also described in Nevuos, in Cheskel, in Zechariah. We read this in Haftorah over Sukkot. Describes how all the nations of the world will converge on Yerushalayim to wage war, and the outcome of that war will be a recognition universally of Ahaya Hashem Melech, the pasuk that we say every day in davening, Hashem Melech Kol Ard VaYom Yehashem Echad Ushmo Echad. In connection to Melchemes Gog Magog, there's also a tradition Chazal had that there'll be a precursor to Mashiach ben David, the Gemara in Sukkah, and also various midrashim, Mashiach ben Yosef. Who's Mashiach ben Yosef? Someone who's going to tragically be killed. In Melchemes Gog Magog, there'll be a major hesped. And after that will be Mashiach ben David. And there are sources in Chazal and Zohar Kadosh that single out Yishmael as a nation that's going to wreak great havoc upon the world. At the end of days, coming close to Mashiach. The Pirkei Rav Elazar and a few of the Prakim, Perek Lamed, Lamed Beis, Chavtes, speaks about wars that Yishmael is going to wage against the Jewish people. The Zohar says, that's a big of Elazar. The Zohar speaks in Parshas Vayera about the schus of Yishmael in Eretz Yisrael. Why does he have a schus? Because Yishmael ben Avram underwent Bris Milah at the age of 13. And Avram Avinu died at Kadosh Baruch Hu, who Yishmael yechia lefanacha. And therefore he has a schus, he has a foothold in Eretz Yisrael. And then we also find all various sources in look around in the Zohar, in the Tikkuni Zohar, in the Gra, that the challenge that Yishmael poses to Klal Yisrael will be joining with other forces that will be his allies, such as Esav. And that's alluded to in the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Toldos. We spoke it out. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael, and he marries the daughter of Ishmael, and that union of Esav and Ishmael is an unholy alliance that can also cause us problems. And also Makorah speak about Paras. Maral mentions this in the beginning of the Sefer on Chanukah, and the Gemara is like that Paras has a connection to Ishmael. And then there's other things in Kisvi Hagra about the Erev Rav, that they're going to be parts of Klal Yisrael, you might call them a fifth column, who join forces with the Klipos of Esav, the Klipos of Yishmael, and they bear guilt, they bear responsibility for the Golus being as long as it is. Okay, so what does all this mean? It's very mysterious, very enigmatic. What does it all mean? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim by Mashiach that we never really know for sure exactly how these things are going to occur, and they won't become clear after they happen. Don't pay too much attention to it. But the truth of the matter is, as history unfolds before our eyes, especially the closer we get to Yemos HaMashiach, it's tempting to begin to contemplate world events, especially as they relate to Eretz Yisrael, in terms of how this fits within Hashem's ultimate plan. So the Wem Gedolim, for example, the Meshech Chachma, who saw in the Balfour Declaration 1917 a harbinger of Geula, and he wasn't the only one. Reminiscent of what Koresh proclaimed, he told the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel and rebuild by his shame. Many have thought that the horrors of the Churban in Europe, the Shoah, is part of Mechemes Gog Magog, Chevron Mashiach. Many view the settlement of Eretz Yisrael going back already to the 18th century, the Talmidei Hagra, the Talmidei Habesht, and the whole Aliyah then that started as part of a manifestation of a stage in the Geula, maybe even Mashiach ben Yosef being not a person, but a tkufa, resettling the land. And building off of that, many have said, of course, within the, you know, those who take the idea of Schalta de Geula very much literally, then having a state of our own is considered as Schalta de Geula, Reishis Smichas Geula Seinu. This is one end of the spectrum. Then there's the other end of the spectrum. Namish Minakotze Lakotze. You have segments of Klal Yisrael who view the secular state of Israel, because it is a secular state, and there are many who are, you might call them Mishoim or Tinokos Kenishbu, whatever you want to say they are, but certainly far, far from Shomri Torah Mitzvahs. And so they are in a manifestation of the Erev Rav, and they may actually be inhibiting the coming of Mashiach. And even what you see to be successful, it's really nothing but Maisa Satan. This is what the Satmar Rebbe used to say. Now, after everything is said and done, we don't have a Navi. We don't have the benefit of hindsight until it's fully unfolded. We can't really know for sure how to interpret the path of history. The famous Chasam Sefer says, the Vart on the Pasuk, V'ra'isa sachorai ufanai lo yera'u, that we can only understand world history retrospectively. When we see afterwards, we understand where it was coming from. Okay, but meanwhile, we don't know for sure. So we have a sense of uncertainty, and it's hard. It's hard to live that way. It's hard to admit to ourselves and to others that whatever our instincts might be, there might be another side to the story. The Torah is full of absolutes. There's Tov, there's Ra, there's Kasha, there's Treif, there's Mutter, there's Asr. And where's the Safik? There's Hanhakos of Safik. There's Kualin. Safik Darai Salachumah. Safik Rabban Lakula. Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid. Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabin. Raglayim Madov Arov Chazaka. In Halacha, there's a Psak. If you have a Taroves, you plug in the Kuali HaPsak. In the word of Ashkafa, when you're thinking about things, there are a lot of variables, and it's hard always to pin down. And where you end up is often depending on where your starting point of reference is. With what prism should we view the modern state of Israel? How should we relate to the fact that its underpinnings were secular, its founders were secular? On the one hand, it is a vehicle, has been a vehicle to bring masses of our fellow Yidden to Eretz Yisrael. It's instilled a sense of Jewish pride to Jews all over the world. Many yeshivas take subsidies from the government. On the other hand, again, without going into many, many, many details, but we know policies have often been antagonistic to Torah, to say the least. and maybe associating with that is legitimizing kfira. The attitude that one takes to Medinas Yisrael has always been a fault line that divides segments within Klal Yisrael. Right? And this goes back to pre-Medina, before 48, the rise of the secular Zionist movement, the question of whether, to what degree, such a movement should be embraced or rejected. On one extreme, there are those who took a more positive view, even from the beginning of the movement. They tried to infuse it with a more religious component. And you can mention Gedolim and name them and find them. On the other extreme, there were those who were staunchly opposed to Zionism, seeing it in all its trappings as muksa machmas mius. It has to be fought tooth and nail. It's a threat to Torah. Now, obviously, on the one hand, you say, look at Rav Kook's writings and his son of the Yehuda Kook. These ideas nourish the spirit of Zionism as somehow, in some bigger way, consistent with Torah, ultimately for some way to serve Torah, part of Hashem's plan for the Geula. The Sefer Ema Banim Smecha of Rav Tachtal, he feels that the tzaras of the Churban in Europe may have been because we were too opposed to settling Eretz Yisrael. We were telling everyone, don't go. That was on the one extreme. On the other hand, there were many Gedolim who were opposed to Zionism, and again, the Satmar Rebbe had a shita that was the opposite. Zionism was the cause. Well, where am I going with all this? What I think is lost in all of this is that between the two extremes, there's a wide spectrum. You don't have to be on one end or on the other. I'll give you an example. Within the Masorah, you could say, of this yeshiva, which is certainly very positively disposed to Eretz Yisrael and the country, not everyone is embracing the perspective of Rav Kook and his followers. The Rav of Soloveitchik was an eloquent spokesman for the Mizrahi, but he was opposed to any attempt to tamper with Nusach HaTfilah, whether Yom HaTzma'ut, or even within the wording of Nachem on Tisha B'Av. He didn't want to change anything. And there's all kinds of indications that he was opposed to certain ways of how people wanted to take the celebrations of Yom HaTzma'ut. But I want to go the other direction as well. Equally true is that many of the, call them non-Zionist Gedolim, are not monolithic. Some were a little closer to the view of the Satmar Rebbe, maybe the Brisker Rav, to some extent the Chazon Ish, maybe Ravan Kotler. Others, for either ideological reasons or pragmatic reasons, were more positively disposed toward the Medina, of Shlomo Zalman. People would say, I want to go to Kibbutz Tzadikim somewhere. He said, go to Har Herzl and daven by his soldiers. There was a sensitivity, there was an appreciation for what it meant, the Mesiras Nefesh for the country. Rabbi Yosef Kahaneman in Panevish insisted that an Israeli flag be hung on Yom HaTzma'ut in the yeshiva. It still is. There's a tshuva Bara Moshe, Orach Chaim Simen Mem Vav. Beis HaKnesses, Shehu Medu Sham HaDegolim, Me'artzos HaBris, Me'Medinas Yisrael. So the question was asked in 1957. They want to break away and start a new shul. Chas v'shalom, how can we daven in the shul that has flags, American government, Israeli flags? It's nothing to do with the shul. Now, truth is, Moshe acknowledges it's not really shaykh to a shul. But chas v'shalom, to break away, he says, yeah, it's true. And he goes on to, one by one, American flag, Israeli flag. Yes, those who associate with the flag may have been Rishayim, but it's not a Dover Kadosh, it's not a Chshash Avodah Zara, it's a Simen B'Alma. And at the end of the day, he says, Elu Sherotzim Lasos B'Shluzah Minyan B'Mokam Acher, and they think they're doing a big deal, Dover Gadol, Ein Osim Kohogen, Raku'in Politika, Mitzad Koach HaYetzer, V'Hasatan, Asher B'Basin HaRabim, Rakid Beinan. So, but Moshe wasn't anything you can call him a Zionist, not at all. But this is not something that Musa Machmas Nius, that you have to run away and start another shul. Just one example. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes at MS Yaakov that having a state served to restore a sense of dignity to Klal Yisrael after the horrors of the Shoah. And many examples like this. I know that Rav Henkin was a big posik in the Lower East Side where I grew up. So before 1948, he was very much in the camp of anti-Zionist, very much. But then something changed. Once there was a state, So there is a certain association that you realize in the world around us. You can't fight the battles of pre-48. You have to understand the Messias people now associate Jews and Israel, and if you're going to go against Israel, you're really going against Jews. And he wrote strongly against the Natura Karta philosophy and against the Satmarov, and it's all there in his writings. Again, he was not a religious Zionist, but he had very strong views about how you relate to the state of Israel. Rav Ruderman, had in 1949, someone recently sent me this, there was a sixth Chag HaSmicha Ner Yisrael, and he invited as the guest speaker Rav Zev Gold, who was the head of the Mizrahi, to speak at the Chag HaSmicha. Okay, so it's a fault line. Recently, there was a split in the last couple of years between different factions in Eretz Yisrael, how to deal with the exemptions of the Yeshiva Bacharim. So you have the faction in B'nai Brak, the faction in Yerushalayim, and the more moderate faction was Rabbi Leib Steinman, and you have the more Pelic faction, more extreme. Again, partly has to do with what your starting point is. If your visceral feeling is, about Eretz Yisrael as a state, the way the Satmar Rebbe felt, then your natural inclination is going to be in your face. The more that you're able to see things in a more nuanced way, then you can understand that there's a more moderate approach that you take. There was another example of this, an organization called Eretz HaKodesh that was founded recently as part of the World Zionist Organization. It was meant to be a chance to, you had to express some kind of allegiance toward the values of Zionism, but it also would be helping Haredi Jewry and Jews in general, as opposed to having money being allotted toward a lot of other things which are mamish kfira. The question is, but by doing that itself, by having such a group, are you somehow betraying your own values or not? This became a very controversial issue, and it still is. So why am I telling you this? Because I don't know if it's relevant to you or not, or I should be saying it, but I feel like I have to talk, but I'm trying to talk not as much on a personal level, because I do have strong feelings. But I want to say that we had last week a beautiful rally that showed tremendous solidarity with Israel. It was attended by all types of Jews, not from yeshivish, modern, and you saw it. And it was meant for a particular reason. It was meant to send a strong message to the government of the United States to continue to support Israel. It goes into pikuach nefesh. It was to advocate for the hostages and to do more to fight anti-Semitism. The greater number of people that attend, the stronger the message. Now, what happened? There's a world called the Agoda world, the Yeshiva world, and they are not Zionist, but they are sort of like in this middle road, non-Zionist organization. They have a lot of people who are their constituents. So, but they were not organizing the rally. It was a federation rally. So initially they encouraged participation. A letter went out this is the rally and people should go. Maybe not the Yeshiva Bachrim, in some cases yes, but in some cases they said no, but at least the Balabatim should go. And then at the last minute there was a letter from several notable members of the Moletzes telling people not to go. And it created a lot of confusion and controversy and continues to reverberate. And I don't want to get into the politics of it. It's not relevant, the timing of it. But I just want to focus, and again, I did speak to Rav Rudny, and his cheshbon is not what I'm going to address right now. It's more of a political cheshbon, and I leave that with that comment. What I do want to speak about is provide a perspective to a letter that came out several days ago. I don't know how many of you saw it, but it got a lot of press. And the Rashi Ben Ari Yisrael, Baron Feldman, offered a rationale for his position of why he stopped backing the rally. Now, again, I'm trying to separate my personal feelings. I was very, very saddened, really, very turned off by it. But I want to just try to separate that by just trying to address some of the confusion here. I mean, where is it coming from? So he goes through different reasons why he came around to oppose the rally. So one thing he says, it might lead to a pastor speaking, it might become enamored with Christianity. I don't understand exactly why anyone going to the rally for the reasons they're going. Believing that was one of the points. But then he gives a lot of attention to the idea of going to the rally legitimizes Zionism. There's a singing of Hatikvah, And there's a real detriment because people being exposed to this are going to, chas v'shalom, get caught up into the avodah zarah called Zionism. Now, I just want to understand where it's coming from. If your starting point is that you view Eretz Yisrael and the state of Israel in those terms, in those black and white terms, then of course the most important issue at stake is exposure to avodah zarah. Pikuach nefesh is not even relevant here because this is avodah zarah. So that's why you end up where you end up. But you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be that extreme. You could be, you don't have to be in YU. You don't have to be someone who went to a Hezri yeshiva. You could be someone who went to any number of yeshivas not within the YU world, and you won't say Hallel Yom Ha'atzmaut. But you don't view every aspect of Zionism as inherently evil. You can tolerate the fact that you're speaking to a large spectrum of people. They're going to sing a tikva, you can't not. And you, and even if you're not it's not going to make your heart warm by hearing a tikva, but you can go and you understand where you're going. This is, I think, where it's coming from. If you are, this is another aspect to this. The more that you see Klal Yisrael in a broader sense, then you see the value of coming together, and you see the fact that people are proud of the Jewishness as a positive thing, maybe even a hira tshuva. The more you define Klal Yisrael in very limited, narrow terms, achicha b'mitzvahs, which has halachic implications, the less it bothers me, that I'm not part of the larger tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael defined by me is in a more narrow sense. So I just want to end with this. Just as we pointed out in terms of understanding the way history plays out and how to understand where we're headed and why it's happened means one thing or something else, you can have a view which is very extreme, but you have to define it and recognize that that's what it is. It's das yachid. It's not the mainstream. And this has been proven. I've heard this time and time again. Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky took his entire yeshiva, except for 10 people who he kept a sarbat running, just to be there to the storm of the yeshiva, proudly with his yeshiva. Rav Shom Spitz from Shabbat Torah, I know he's planning to go, and he encouraged Talmidim to go. Chavetz Chaim went. But more than that, going back to 1967, which was also an existential issue for Eretz Yisrael, for the state of Israel. So, you know, Rav Moshe Brown from Far Rockaway, he's a huge, towering Talmid Chacham, reported, I heard him say this on a recording, that at that time, Rav Rudiman took the entire Neri Yisrael, Rav Eli Shvei took the entire Tzili, and Telz Yeshiva, all of them went to attend the rally. Again, these are not, quote-unquote, Zionist Gedolim. They are within the traditional yeshiva world. But the idea is that you have a broader perspective and you don't make an issue like this a litmus test. You see a broader issue. So I think this is where I think it's important to put things in perspective. You know, decisions in life, and it's true in this regard, it's true about a lot of things in life. Decisions are not always black and white. You can be right in one context and you see a larger perspective in a different context. You know, joining with non-Orthodox Jews for a rally that will include speakers that might say things that clash with their sensitivities, smack of kfira, that's one way to look at it. And on the other hand, I'm not giving up my values, my convictions. I understand that there's another value here, and I want to be part of that pikuach nefesh endeavor to send a message to the government. And I'm not masking. Even within groups that came, there were liberal groups in the Jewish spectrum and very hawkish groups, and they came together, even though they probably heard the pastor say things that probably irk their ears because they have peace now and whatever. But the point is that you come and you put aside, but if you see it in such very absolute terms, you can't do that. So depending on what your preconceived notions are about whatever issue, in this case, the state of Israel, those counter-arguments either will pass muster or won't pass muster. So again, to come back to where we started, without a Navi, without hindsight, we can't always know with certainty, you know, that had to make this situation, that situation. It's nice to be sure, to sound like you're sure, but ultimately we have to follow a Mesorah, and whatever your Mesorah is along the spectrum, but there's a lot in the middle. You don't have to be on one extreme or the other. What's proposed to be a Das Torah doesn't have to be a Das Yachid. A Das Yachid is a Das Yachid. It's good for those people want to follow that particular Das Yachid. But don't assume that this represents more than that, Das Yachid. Kaiso is not monolithic. It's not a breakdown between YU and the yeshiva world. It is a particular point of view that's, in my eyes, quite extreme. But okay, everyone's entitled to their opinion. The Satmar Rebbe was a gadol. This is an opinion, but it's not a mainstream opinion. I just want to end with something very important, and that's a Tosfos. I want to get into the whole underlying message of the Medrash, but it's a very interesting Medrash. The Tosfos quotes in Sota Daf Lamed Zayin. Because whatever opinion you take, in whatever situation, however moderate, however extreme, there's always another question to consider, and that's your motives. How much L'shem Shemayim are you? The Gemara has an interesting chazal about Kriyas Yamsuf. Kaiso at the Yamsuf and the Shvatim were arguing who's going in first. So what happened was, Shiftush of Binyamin, they went in first, and then says the Gemara, the Sarah Yehuda were stoning them. Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. So Tosfos brings an interesting mashal, Mar Davidomer. Melchas of Adam had a king had two sons, one older, one younger. He tells the youngest son, wake me up at sunrise, Netzacham, Hanetzacham. He tells the oldest son, wake me up 3 hours into the day. So the youngest son comes at sunrise, and the oldest son's not letting him wake up the king. He says, he told me 3 hours of the day. The cotton says, no, he told me sunrise. So while they're going back and forth arguing, the father wakes up, and he says, both of you were mechavein for my honor. I'm going to give you both your reward. And so Tosfos compares it to Yehuda and Binyamin. Binyamin goes in, Yehuda stones him, but they're both doing L'shem Shemayim. Whenever you take a position, you know, especially if it's on the extreme side of the spectrum, there's always a risk. If you're too tolerant, then you can start seeing things positively when they should really be called for what they are. It's evil. You can't just say everything is good. You take something which is too extreme on the other side, it can undermine Avas Yisrael, it can bring a certain feeling of negativity, and it corrupts one's midos. So it's important, whatever position you take in any given issue in life, I'm just using this as a mashal to bring out other examples, you have to recognize that it's not just about being right in the abstract, it's about being right in the context of the situation and having the motives of L'shem Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Yeshua Hashem. We should get to the point that we understand everything in hindsight. Meanwhile, we should follow the Mesorah that resonates for us, that we're Mekabel from Arabeim. We should always know that what we do is L'shem Shemayim. We should always be Zochet Yeshua Hashem. Amen.